Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Well, the question is, what kind of faith do you have? And I want you to think about that during this whole time I speak here. Now, there are some verses I'm going to give you that are not on that sheet, because I'm going to go through them really fast. I will repeat the reference twice in case you want to write it down for a future thing. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 says, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, 'He saves others, him himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him.'" This morning I want you to really think about what kind of faith you have. What does it take to move you? This morning I want you to think about what kind of person you are as a Christian. Are you like the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders? These people represented the religious system of its day. And yet, and at the same time, you know, they knew the Bible, and yet they didn't know. They studied it. Some of them, I've read articles in history about some of these old ones that the scribes and Pharisees memorized a portion of. Well, they only had the Old Testament now back then. So they memorized word for word. Everyone in their head could quote it. And yet it didn't do them a whole lot of good. Just to give you an illustration is Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Christ at night. And we assume that he did that because he didn't want anybody to know. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest council. He was a teacher of the teacher of the Pharisees. And he came to Christ at night and asked him, started talking to him. And Christ starts witnessing to him and says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And to tell you how dumb he was, he says, "How can a man go back into a mother's womb and be reborn again?" Now, to me, I would have thought that was a stupid statement, especially from someone that has equivalent to a doctor's degree in the Bible. And yet, it just goes to show you that no matter how much you study, if you're not careful and you don't study properly, look at the Pharisees. They wanted to hang Christ on the cross. He didn't come for that. The scripture clearly teaches the Old Testament that that wasn't the reason why he came. But somehow they went over the whole thing. And here Nicodemus asked that question. And then Christ says, and I love this answer. His answer is, "Are you not a teacher of the Jews and you don't know these things?" And you can look this up in the Gospels, by the way. But it just goes to show you that there's a lot of people out there today that are, quote, religious. And they read the Bible and they may sit there and study it, but yet it doesn't mean that they are doctrinally sound. And we have to be very careful with that. Christ answered these question to him. "Aren't you a teacher? Shouldn't you?" And he says, "You should know these things." In verse 42... they said, "The king of Israel," you know, they're talking to him while he's on the cross now. Christ is on the cross. "Let him come down. And if he comes down," what? "We will then believe." Is that the type of faith I'm trying to challenge you with today? See, what type of faith do we really have? We all got faith. You didn't get saved without faith. But what type of faith do you have? And that's what my challenge would be today, because today, for them, if he came off that cross, they were going to believe. But they didn't realize he had to stay on the cross for us to have a way to get to heaven. Now, what we call, and you may have heard this term before, doubting Thomas. I'm going to read the section here. That's verse 42. No, John chapter 20, verse 25. "Except I see his," and this is Thomas speaking, and they were just telling him that Christ has rose again from the dead. Okay, and he says, "Except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." The question is that the type of faith we have? And you say, "Oh no, I don't have that type of faith." But let me tell you something. A lot of us do. And I want to tell you why. because we don't respond to the things God teaches us. You come in here by faith. God's supposed to speak to you. And you might use the excuse, well, Glenn Taylor's speaking. He don't speak very well. He stutters, mispronounces words. And you think of everything, every excuse, but hearing the word of God and what God has for you here today. And you to come in here with faith. And I wish I could remember that guy's name. The one has palsy, that's a preacher. And he stutters really, really, really bad the whole time. And yet people flock by the thousands to go hear him. And all. And it's not the person, it's the message that changes lives. I can't change anybody's life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God that changes lives. And that's another reason why I quote so many scriptures in my preaching. Are you a Christian that really has faith to trust in God no matter what happens? Do you really put your faith to work? Do you take the time to listen when the preacher speaks? Do you learn from the sermons you come to hear? You came here for a reason. Are you taking something out of this? May not be the whole sermon. Might be one point. But God knows your needs every day. Every time you pick up that the daily devotion. Isn't it amazing how sometimes it meets the exact need you had? Yet they wrote that a long time ago. But that's the way God works. Do you take what you've learned and apply it to your life? And all this requires faith. Faith is just not a simple thing that says, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's more than that. Do you really believe? Do you have the faith that God is feeding you something every time you come? Every time you open up that daily bread, do you have faith that God's going to give you something special for you? Every time you read your Bible at home, or you listen to a sermon on the TV or on the internet or whatever, or come here, do you have the faith and know that God is going to feed you with something? Are you the type of person who needs to see something happen before you believe or act? In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've quoted this many times to you, but do you really understand what it's saying? Number one, to have faith, you got to hear. And number two, you have to hear the word of God, not how to do books. And I'm not saying there's nothing bad with how to do books. I'm talking about books in a Christian store. But you got to be engrossed in the word first. Listening to it. That's the thing that does the changing. The Holy Spirit works through His Word. And that's so important. John chapter 20:29. This is Jesus' response to doubting Thomas after he said what he said. Jesus says unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. There's a bigger blessing for those that have the faith to trust and believe than those that see and believe. And this is the type of faith God is looking for from all of us. Sometimes we wonder why God's not working in our lives. And the answer is right here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And a lot of times, God does not work in our lives because of our unbelief that we have. These people believe, but there was too much unbelief taking place. Christ did not do many works because the people did not have faith in him. He was at his hometown. It's in the Bible. You can read it, where he went there. And all they did is, this is the carpenter's son. They couldn't get that out, away, move that away from themselves. They said, this is the guy we saw grow up with Joseph. He was the carpenter's son. And now he's the son of God? They couldn't get by the carpenter's son. The faith wouldn't allow him to go by. And because of that, Christ says, a prophet's not welcome in his own country. And he didn't do a lot of miracles there. And the scripture tells us that. So let me show you now. These are the verses that are not in the Bible. Okay? If you want to write them down, at least the reference down, I'll repeat it twice to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Matthew 16:4. "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it." Matthew 12:38. "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." And then Luke 16:16. "The others tempting sought of him a sign from heaven." And what I'm trying to show you here today is that this is not a small problem. This was throughout Scripture. This wasn't after one chapter that I quoted you. And that same problem exists today. We're always looking for a sign or something to happen. I've seen it from so many people since I've been a Christian, since I witnessed the people and went to a lot of these Christian rallies, biker rallies in the early years, and to listen to what some of these people were saying. All kinds of people want to see a sign of some type. And for the most part, none are given because of their unbelief. So, where do you stand? God wants to bless if we have the faith in Him. Back in the Old Testament, people saw angels. People were raised from the dead in the Old Testament. The Red Sea was parted. The Jordan River was parted during the flood stage, which was really, at the flood stage, it was huge. It would go over the banks big time, and yet that whole thing got separated when Israel walked across on dry ground. People being healed from all kinds of things, diseases and all. God speaking to people by way of dreams, from clouds, when he was leading Israel and speak there. Even I just got finished reading the baptism of Christ again, and there was a cloud, and God said, "This is my servant here, my son, who I'm very well pleased with." And then you have the angels that he used, and we see that with Abraham before he went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they believed that one of them was Jesus Christ incarnated, because it was three of them. And then you got the burning bush. I tell you what, every time I think of that, I love watching Charlton Heston walking up to that. It just puts chills down me to see a bush burning but not being consumed. And then to have the voice come out and say, "You're walking on holy grounds, take your shoes off." And the list goes on and on of the Old Testament. But after Christ died, we started to live under grace. The dispensation of grace, which we must have faith to believe in. So if we had these signs, you wouldn't need faith. That's why faith is so important for us today. More important, we really need to understand faith. Because things aren't going to happen without faith in a Christian's life. All these other things I just mentioned does not take place anymore today. Oh, God heals people that we pray over, things like that and all. But you don't see people being raised from the dead. That's just not the norm. You don't see parting of the Red Sea. You don't see different things like that that you saw in the Old Testament. And that's why all the miracles stop, simply because we live in a dispensation of faith. One must trust in something to see that you don't normally see. Which leads to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's something you hope is going to happen. You don't know it's going to happen. You hope it's going to happen. But the second part of it is evidence of things not seen. No sign. No evidence. You can't pick something up. The only evidence we have is the Scripture, and you're trusting in the Scripture that it's God's Word. So faith is in the Scripture as well. And like I heard a professor say one time, which I've come to believe that he is absolutely true, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. And yet look how many people believe in evolution. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now think about that. God says, you draw back from your faith, I have no pleasure in you. If you're not applying and using the faith I gave you, I have no pleasure in you. God has no pleasure in anybody that doesn't really trust and look to Him. Now, let me give you the dictionary definition of faith that might help you understand. Faith is, in general, the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. I think that's pretty interesting. Its primary idea is trust. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. That's what faith is. So my question is, where is your faith today? How much faith do you have in God's Word? That when you read it, when God speaks to you today, that you simply don't walk out of here and say, oh, what a great sermon that was. Hey, Glenn, that was really good. And nothing ever happens. I can't tell you how many times I've been to churches and all where people say that and they walk out and those people didn't change a lick. Nothing changed in their lives. They just go to church every Sunday. Why? It's expected of you. Who are the happiest people? The people closest to God. The people that are using their faith and not just believe, but use the faith and apply it. So how much faith are you willing to put towards anything? Are you going to be like the Jews who wanted to see a sign? Or are you filled with the religion thing of the day? So many churches out there today, they may preach a halfway decent sermon on Sunday or a good one, but you take time and read the doctrinal statement and you go, man, I can't believe they're heading that direction. I've had so many people tell me that from other churches. That's why I'm so critical and so I'm very careful what churches I recommend for people to go to. Nobody's perfect, but we got to get as close to perfect as we can get. Hearing a testimony is a good thing. You know, I love hearing testimonies. But do you have to hear a testimony before God moves you? You shouldn't. It should encourage you. Now, there's one other thing with faith. Knowledge is the essential element in all of faith. Knowledge. And I'm going to prove it to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. I'm going to read about four verses here. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You came here to hear a preacher. You came here to hear the word of God being preached. Not about the presidency, not about social issues, even though I know we do talk about some things like that before the service and all. But you come here primarily to grow and get closer to the Lord. That should be the main reason. By the way, just to make sure you understand, I'm a member of ABATE. Number one is because I want to go there and witness for Christ. Not to be a member of ABATE to help the bikers. That's number two. When I go to this today, I'm going there to be a witness for Christ and try to bring someone to Christ or to be a testimony to someone there. Not to help the kids. Helping the kids is number two. And every Christian should have that same. This is a ministry, state line, that you're a part of. Our goal is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Our goal is to invite people here. Not to make us big or anything else, because I could care less about the numbers. But I do care about people. And I don't want to see any one of my friends die and go to hell. And I want every one of my friends that are saved, be the happiest Christians they could possibly be. That they'd be overflowing because God's working so much in their lives. And you can't do that without faith. Don't get caught up in religion. It didn't do any good to the leaders back then, and it doesn't do any good to us today. So what kind of faith do you have? Is your faith growing every week, every month, and every year? Do you use your faith that God has given you? Do you apply it? Do you trust God? Use it. The type of faith that God can bless. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.